She herself has not indicated that, but if you talk to anyone about someone that the general Democratic Party might be interested in championing in 2022, she's one of the first names that comes up.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Anna Grunwald of Politico. She's the author of a new in-depth article looking at Attorney General Tish James, who's now maybe the most important person in New York politics. Just to begin with, Tish James, she's still relatively new to the position of Attorney General. She doesn't have necessarily as high a profile as some of the people who came before her. So for people who are just starting to notice the name Tish James in a lot of news articles, how did she get to this point as Attorney General?
Yeah, that was actually something that I just started noticing as well. She has been in New York City politics for about two decades now. She is a Brooklyn native, and she started off her political career in city council. She was in city council for about 10 years and then ran for public advocate. And that's not necessarily a super powerful political position, but it has a very large podium to not only advance your own priorities, but also really speak out for people and for I think, party priorities across the city. That's kind of a spot that people think is a mayor in waiting. And people were expecting her to run for mayor potentially in this current cycle. So that would be 2021. But in 2018, the attorney general then, Eric Schneiderman, had to resign after women came out against him with allegations of abuse. And so when he did that, Solicitor General Barbara Underwood stepped in. And then that fall, Tish James was elected Attorney General after she received super strong support from the entire party, including Governor Andrew Cuomo at the time.
Do we know why Cuomo backed Tish James in that race? There were other people in the field like Sean Patrick Maloney, the congressman who'd actually worked for Cuomo before, and also Zephyr Teachout, who had run against Cuomo at one point.
Well, we can point to statements. I think he said at the time that he felt she was best qualified to take on President Donald Trump, who was at the time, that seemed to be a huge priority of the Attorney General's office in New York. And that was something Eric Schneiderman had done. Tish James is a Black woman who would be a pretty strong stance up against some of the things that they felt the Trump administration was advocating for. And there's, you know, I think that anyone you talk to would say that Tish James didn't have at the time a very strong record of coming out to investigate anything within the Democratic Party in New York. So a lot of people in power at the time thought, here's someone we know is our ally, but she's probably not going to take us on in very aggressive ways. She'll help us push forward these priorities. It seemed kind of like the perfect choice.
Once she got into office, how did she go about dealing with the Trump administration, which, you know, from Governor Cuomo's perspective, was at a state of war with New York State?
She went in very strong on that front. It was at some point, I remember getting so many press releases from her office that were, the Trump administration did this and we're saying no, or we're countering this, or we wrote this brief. The office told me that they, during the 2 years that he was in office and she was in office at the same time, they joined or led 76 challenges against the administration or the administration's policies. So that's a pretty full-time job. And even though the office is extremely large, and of course the Attorney General's office has to do many other things across the state, that seemed to be a very public priority and something they wanted to revolve her reputation and New York's reputation around.
So your article in Politico, this is a minor point in it, but I want to touch on it for a minute just because I found it so interesting. I didn't realize that she had been lying about her age in public life by 4 years. What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know. That was something that when I started looking into her political history, because like you and I think like many people, I was very unfamiliar with some of her earlier years. That was something that popped up. The Wall Street, when she was running for public advocate, the Wall Street Journal reported that She had actually been saying that she was 4 years younger than she actually was. And so that meant that she, for a decade, had been incorrectly, her age had been stated incorrectly in articles. And when I asked about it more recently, and when people asked about it at the time, spokespeople have said, you know, like, we don't have to talk about women's age. And it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal, but it does seem kind of to be odd. It was one of the more interesting quirks. But it's New York City politics, and so nothing really should surprise me.
So let's now talk about COVID-19. The report that her office released on the nursing home data from the Cuomo administration, which has been the focus of so much scrutiny, what was the background to that report and how was it received?
After the Cuomo administration had started taking some heat for the deaths in nursing homes earlier last year, so probably about this time last year, there was a lot of back and forth, and that was a pretty harsh criticism for what was otherwise a lot of praise for the Cuomo administration. People had been saying that a directive, which I think that you have reported on and other reporters have talked about to you, a directive that sent recovering COVID-19 patients back into nursing homes. That was later effectively reversed, but it was pointed to by a lot of people as a reason that so many residents did die in nursing homes. And, you know, over the past few weeks, more recently, we've seen that those numbers have been extraordinary. But when those criticisms started coming out last year, Cuomo and his aides said, we're going to direct the attorney general to look into this. And I think at the time, it was taken as a little bit more of a way to kind of like shut down those critiques. So, you know, if you say, oh, we're going to investigate this, and everyone can kind of like calm down. Okay, it's being looked into.
And then a report comes out like on a Friday at 5 p.m., 6 months from now, and no one notices.
Right, 5 p.m. if we're lucky, maybe 8 p.m. or something like that. and so then I think that as things kept moving, I personally had all but forgot about it, and other people were tracking it for sure, but it seemed kind of to be a minor point in the larger story. But then in January, this report comes from the Attorney General's office, and there were a lot of things that it included. It's 76 pages. A lot of things that it included were how to increase safety standards in nursing homes. But the one point that caught everyone's attention, the Cuomo administration's attention especially, was a very specific statement that Cuomo's office had been undercounting these deaths. And it didn't necessarily say why, but it said the way that everything was being tracked by the administration meant that the number of deaths that were reported were probably far, far smaller than the true toll. And because that was a specific criticism that that Cuomo had pushed back on so aggressively, it seemed to most of us like not necessarily an attack, but a punch. And it was taken that way. It seemed to surprise the Cuomo administration because they didn't know the timing or the exact content of the report. And it was a little bit of a twist for Tish James because we hadn't seen her so publicly, at least, push back on something that the Cuomo administration had done.
Sources in your story characterized it as a declaration of independence and a kill shot against Governor Cuomo, who had been riding his pandemic popularity to all-time highs for a while.
Yeah. And that was not, you know, there was a blind quote in the story that called it a kill shot, but they were far from the only person who said that it was, you know, on varying levels, people described it as everything from, uh-oh, this is scary. Oh, is this the true Tish? All sorts of thoughts like that that suggested this politician that they thought maybe was a little bit more predictable might turn out in the future not to be quite so predictable an ally.
So now let's talk about the sexual harassment allegations against the governor. And I just want to say for people who are listening to this as a podcast down the line later that we're talking Thursday morning, March 11th. So things are moving fast in Albany these days. But as we speak here, the governor, after a tortured back and forth over the weekend when the first allegations came out, eventually relented and sent to Tish James, the attorney general, the power to investigate independently the claims. you know, in the last 24 hours, we've seen a sixth woman come forward in a Times Union article with very specific claims. Where does that all leave Attorney General Tish James now? She's sort of outsourced this investigation to independent investigators, but the ultimate report will still be coming out from her office, we think.
Absolutely. I'm trying to figure that out myself. You know, as more allegations continue to come out, what do people do now? Because there is an investigation. A number of politicians, Cuomo's office included, have said, like, we're not going to do comments really on this anymore because these are all things that need to go into the investigation, into the report. But it seems like it's really a snowballing effect right now as more people have come forward and emboldens others to come forward. And how those will be reported and how those will be taken or addressed is very much in question. I think that the big question for us is how hard the Attorney General and the team that she's appointed will push on this investigation, because so much is riding on it. Democrats in Congress, in the states, many have said, we need to wait and see what the results of this are before we make any judgments on calling on Cuomo to resign or even moving forward with any sort of more forceful action like impeachment. But if more allegations continue to come out this way, I wonder if they can wait that long. That could be anywhere from weeks to months.
And we should say Governor Cuomo denies touching anybody inappropriately. Just out of fairness, I want to say that. I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think one impetus for your story is that there's a lot of discussion now, given Cuomo's precarious political standing, that Attorney General Tish James, you know, could be now getting closer to being a future governor of New York State. Do you think that's fair to say?
She herself has not indicated that. But if you talk to anyone about someone that the general Democratic Party might be interested in championing in 2022, she's one of the first names that comes up. And it's even before that, even before all of this and the kind of more public stances that she's taken more recently, that would be the case. The joke is that Attorney General stands for aspiring governor. And typically people who have held those positions, you know, Andrew Cuomo was an attorney general, Elliot Spitzer was an attorney general, and it's a natural stepping stone for a lot of people, especially now if she asserts herself in these specific ways and earns a lot of people's trust, that it's certainly out of the question at all.
As a woman covering the Capitol, are you surprised by the latest news cycles that we've seen? How prevalent is harassment and, you know, even low grade misconduct in your day to day experience covering Albany?
I wouldn't point to any specific experience of mine that would ever be similar to some that we've been hearing lately. But none of what has been reported is surprising when it comes to the general culture in Albany. And I don't necessarily think that that's just Albany. That's being a woman in workplaces across New York and the country, when there are people in positions of power over you, especially those who are more accustomed to wielding their power indiscriminately, it seems only natural that some stories like this would emerge. But I do think that I was not surprised by the nature of a lot of these allegations, and any other woman I've talked to has been entirely unsurprised that they exist. And women and men that I've spoken with, even those with no inside knowledge, have said they're expecting more to come out just because of things that they've heard in years past.
Anna Grunwald of Politico, her new article on Attorney General Tish James is called How Tish James Holds Cuomo's Future in Her Hands. Again, we spoke on Thursday morning in this fast-moving story. Anna, thank you so much for your reporting, and thank you for taking this time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.